This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
I was going to say your skin looks good. Yeah, definitely. Have you seen the difference?
You know, I feel like I can feel it.
Yeah,
like spots.
Texture, yeah, yeah.
I'll say to Montana, yes, I don't know what the that snail thing is.
Snail mucin, yeah, yeah.
What is it?
It's like good for hydration. Like it's got loads of natural stuff in it that basically hydrates your skin from the inside out.
Ah.
And so it makes your skin more even, more plump. Yeah, it's really good.
Got you. Well, hello everyone. Welcome to today's Basically, my skin has been absolute trash. And Fola sent me her million and one face products to buy. You know, as I was buying them, I was like, oh, there's another one.
Even when I was typing it to you, I was like, oh, because I see myself now as someone with like a really stripped back skincare routine.
Yeah.
It's not, clearly. But do you know what it is? It's because I spent years with, like, way more than that. Like, I have spent years where I had, like, loads of single products that were, like, hundreds of pounds each. And I was laying with them. But now I'm quite simple in my mind. But
for me? Oh, another one.
Did you buy all of it?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
I think the SPF, I got a cheaper one.
Okay.
But yeah, I bought all of it because I'm so desperate.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? I can confidently say it works. Like, over time, your skin will just, it might not give you like glass skin, but it'll make you glowy, make you clear. Like, you'll have 100%. It's a good routine that I've got, I think.
Yeah, no, thank God. It's funny, actually, because skin's one of those things that, so when I was younger, I used to get really, really bad acne, which I felt quite insecure about. But then in my older age, I kind of don't really care about skin because I feel like, oh, I can just cover it with makeup.
Oh. Yeah, I've gone the opposite because I now wear makeup maybe like twice a month, you know.
Do you?
Even that, I don't wear makeup.
Yeah, anymore. It's true.
And I put in effort to not because I hate makeup. I actually hate like the heaviness of my skin. I like the way it makes me look.
Yeah.
But if I'm honest, you know the main thing that makes me hate makeup? My watery eye.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It just makes it a chore. Like, I spend my whole day wiping my eye, trying to make sure that it's not watery and creating cracks in my under eye makeup. It's hell. Like, so that has made me, like, so incessant about, I need my face to be at a point that, like, I don't feel like I need to wear makeup. Like, let's say I'm going to, like, a music concert.
Yeah.
I don't wear makeup, like, and just show up as I am kind of thing.
Nice, isn't it? I feel like that confidence has also come with age a little bit as well.
100%. I feel like you asked me recently if like I ever had the phase of like, oh, he's going to see me without makeup.
Oh,
like,
yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, like that was a real thing for me at a certain point. I wasn't the worst about it, but I was like aware. Like if I'm not wearing makeup, I'm hyper aware of the fact that I'm not wearing makeup kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, yeah. Oh God, they're seeing me. Like I wonder what they're thinking. Do they think I'm ugly?
And it's weird as well because I feel like, I know for some girls this is true, but with you, when you wear makeup, you're not completely transformed. Like your face isn't completely different.
Yeah.
To be honest, I actually personally don't know anybody like that where they look unrecognizable without makeup.
Like it's men created that narrative as another way to oppress us because it's true. Like, to be fair, I do think there was an era that makeup evolved and it became more transformative and now we're kind of used to like contouring and highlighting.
It's
actually very transformative, but I think we're just used to it now, so we don't see it as a big deal.
Do the girlies do it less? Do you know what it's like? It's because girls still contour, but I feel like it's less harsh than it used to be.
It is, yeah.
Yeah,
I do think I don't know, there's something about makeup at the moment. I'm like, no, the look is kind of a bit mad. Like, you know the whole bright under eye thing?
Yes.
And you put like a proper light, you use your regular concealer under eye, but then you put another really like it might be like white people toned again on top of it. And then obviously like blush and bronzer is it's replaced contour basically.
Yeah.
And everyone's cheeks are fat and rosy red. Like, I love it though. I do love the look, but sometimes I step outside of myself and I'm like, this is a bit mad.
Yeah. You know, when you it's one of those things that, you know, when you look back, you're going to think, bloody hell.
Yeah, what were we doing?
That. Yeah. I feel the same way with the lashes. Because young girls,
yeah,
we all had that thing when we were younger. Like, I literally used to like slick my hair to my forehead and do like swirlies. But the younger girls of the lashes, they're literally like feathers. Birds.
Literally.
They're birds.
I saw some girl on TikTok the other day and her lash... Basically, her eyes were open and her lashes were like on, like flat against her eye. And couldn't see. And she was like, help, like, how do I? It was so mad to watch. Like, your eyelashes are so heavy that they've weighed down. And even when your eyes are open, your eyes are shut. Like, so mad.
You get a lot when you go on, because I think at the moment I'm into like, I want to do my hair soon.
Yeah.
So I'm on a lot of the hair pages and a lot of the girls, you know, like hair and lashes, you know, them girls.
Yeah.
So all of them have their lashes done, but they're so heavy.
They are. Like, yeah.
Really, really heavy.
It's funny. Sorry, go on.
Do you feel like it's like eyelash dysmorphia or something? Where you feel like it's not enough?
I was just going to say that I think I'm a victim of it too. Like, really? Basically, I think my lashes are calm. But then every now and then I meet people and they say a comment and I'm like, oh, like, I didn't realize that you even, like, in my mind, I don't notice my lashes. They're just a part of my face. Oh. But, like, people see me and, like, the lashes. And I've realized that I think I'm one of them. Like, I have dysmorphia and think that my lashes are minor, but they're actually quite heavy.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I actually think I'm part of the problem. Like,
I don't think they are. I genuinely don't think that, but I could be just used to you.
I think you are.
Maybe. Yeah. Do you know what makes you realize is think when you're at work?
That's
a bit more. You're like,
100%, because everybody there, are they even wearing mascara? Like, work always shows me up, and then like, parents as well make me aware of it.
Really?
Like, I think some AF parents, they're not used to the whole glam thing. So when they see me, they're like, "Whoa, she's got a full face of makeup and loads of." Like, and obviously I do things like gems and stuff like that. Like, this is a lot kind of thing.
Did you wear your gems when you first met your boyfriend's parents?
No. Oh. And he was really funny. He was getting onto me because he was like, why wouldn't you wear your gems? Like, that doesn't make sense. His whole thing is be yourself, whatever. He was like, you wore a septum and a nose piercing, but you didn't wear your gems. And I was like, the gems feel really loud. And he was like, a septum. And I was like, no, the gems feel louder to me. Like, they're more of a statement. He was like, I promise you, to AF parents, a septum is way louder than any gems on your eyes. Like, that's a minor. But
you go about that piercing.
Same.
But I think because I'm just so used to you. Like,
exactly.
Do you have a nose ring as well?
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what? You're a bit blurry at the moment, so I can't.
Yeah, you can't see.
I can't even picture the nose ring.
Yeah, I'm so used to my face that I'm like, what's a septum? But a gem is like, whoa, you're really out there. It's like, is she a goth? Is she an emo? It's really funny because
it's so true.
His mum was basically talking about how like young girls these days, like school girls, she wants them to be kids again, like the makeup, the lashes, it's like it's too much basically. And he was like, yeah man, some of these young girls, it's like their lashes are like fuller's lashes. And I was like wait, what's going on? Is this what's going on? Why am I the reference point? Are you saying that my lashes are crazy? Like, what's actually going on? I felt so exposed because everyone was like, yeah, it's too much. I was like, I'm right here.
Yeah, but you're older, isn't it? Because, yeah, some girls, like younger, they probably get a lot, like really, really thick lashes.
Yeah.
They carry handbags.
Yeah.
It's insane. We literally had backpacks. So we had like Just Do It bags, didn't we?
We were babies and we really lived our best baby lives. I was going to ask, do you think that you can tell, or like you can always tell when a girl is really young?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes by their physique a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they just look a bit baby-faced. Although, I can imagine it's definitely more difficult now because of... Do you know what, actually? No, I do feel like I can tell. Because yeah. For some reason, it sounds a bit stranger than it intends to be, but like I have a few younger girls on my Instagram that I personally know that they've got the whole lashes, the nails, but I'm like, you look like a child.
Yeah, you do.
Even when they're wearing heels, I'm like...
Yeah, you can tell. Because I wonder if it's that... Because I feel like back in the day, when girls were doing that, it's because they wanted to look older. But now, I actually don't know if they're trying to look older. I think it's just like fashion.
It's just a look.
I don't think it's about trying to look older.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, okay... I mean, if we can tell that you're young, who cares? Like, you know, get your flying eyelash and your long nails. Because the only time that it becomes uncomfortable for me anyway is when I feel like you're trying to look older to attract older men. But
oh, no, I don't think they are.
I don't think they are, yeah.
No, it's just, it's, and apparently I have two colleagues who, I'm not speaking specific to the black community because they're white, but their daughters are really obsessed with skincare. Apparently that generation, the younger one,
they're
obsessed with face creams and all those kind of things. It's insane. I was definitely using was it Clearasil?
100%. You know oh my God, Clean and Clear.
Clean and Clear, yeah.
The face wash that was like microbeads or something.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That was the truth.
And they even had the teenage virgin friendly one as well.
They did.
Yeah, but apparently they're obsessed with it, like,
I think it's because their generation is way less on the makeup.
Mm.
And the youngest generation is all about this whole like glass, clear skin, clean girl aesthetic stuff.
Yes.
And then there's like I don't know which generation it is, but slightly older than them that are about like the full beat bust down wig.
Mm.
And then there's us, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, it's probably the clean aesthetic with the... the brows,
the laminated brows.
The laminated brow. Gosh. Do you know what? I have always kind of enjoyed I like the idea of being able to put on my hair and go. But unfortunately, I just haven't had that privilege.
You know, when I was younger, that was my dream. Like, that was the only version of anti-blackness that I can say. Not only, but a major version of anti-blackness that I internalized. Was like, as a child, it was my dream to be like, put a messy bun up.
Yeah.
I was doing messy buns with my pick and drop. Just put a messy bun and go. Like, it was my dream.
Yeah,
why couldn't you do it?
Because one, the thing is, I could, but we're made with a few products.
Okay. Yeah.
So my hair, my hair isn't as looked after as maybe I don't look after it as much as I should. So it's funny, actually, even the other day I was going to the gym after work, and what I do in order to definitely make sure that I go to the gym, I get changed at work.
Okay.
So I put my hair up just in like a bun, and the broken dry hair at the front, I was like, whoa, and I just put it back down again. I look like I just woken up.
So interesting.
Yeah, and also, yeah, with curly hair as well, when you wake up in the morning, it's awful. Like, it's stringy. You have to put a little bit of water on it at least, or in like a few products to give it its curl back.
Yeah,
there's no such thing as like having curly hair, going to bed and waking up and it's curly again.
Okay, it's so strange. so interesting.
Yeah.
I sometimes you say stuff like about your hair and I'm like, but it's because your standard is obviously based on having your hair your whole life. Whereas my standard is based on having my hair my whole life.
Yeah.
So
I'm
flyaways. I'm like, so what? Like, calm. Like,
it's like a different, it's just a different texture, because growing up, I remember, and that's one thing I always thank my mum for. She was kind of more in tune with, like, I guess, black products to use. But I remember when I used to go to my cousins, and often, I don't know, I'm kind of younger now, like, I'll forget to pack my stuff.
Yeah.
And then the whole weekend, my hair's just crazy. Okay. And then like they would French plait each other's hair, and then I couldn't get involved because you're gonna have to brush out my hair because it's knotty, and
yeah,
you need products for it to sit. You can't just plait my hair and it's gonna look like a nice silky plait.
Yeah.
I don't have that hair texture.
Very interesting. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Like my niece is mixed race, and I came rolled her hair yesterday. Yeah, and at first I was like, this is hard. Like,
yeah, it's not as easy as you think.
I'm confused. Yeah, because obviously I've spent my life known as a cane roller, and I've cane rolled her hair before, but her hair's really grown in the past few months. Mm. Like, it's much curlier, much knottier, and much longer. And I'm like, whoa, this is like, it's a whole different process. So I had to adjust my mind of like, it's not like cane rolling black hair. Like, I actually have.
Yeah,
it was really weird. I got there in the end, but her mum is Asian, and she can cane roll because she's got mixed kids, obviously.
Mm.
But she was like, oh, your auntie's here, like, she's going to give you the good cane roll. And as I was doing it, I was like, you might have to just do it. Because I think you might be better than me at this. Like, it's crazy.
No, it's not easy. I remember there were so many times, like, if I was just with my nan and she'd be like, I don't know what to do with your hair. Mm. I remember she would try and comb from the top to the bottom. And it used to cry a lot. I remember one time in particular, we were near the sink and she was trying to do my hair before we went out. And I was literally sobbing, like crying so much. Because one, I looked terrible. And two, she was getting so aggravated because she just didn't know what to do with my hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mad. But I know what you mean. I think sometimes when I speak to like my fully black friends, it's kind of like my hair seems like it's just easy to do.
Yeah, it's like, what's the big deal?
Easier to maintain, but like it's still, yeah, I can't just like get up and go.
You've got your own version of
to
maintain. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, but God, my hair's stressful, man.
It really is.
Boring as well.
And I'm losing all of my hair. I don't know what's going on at the moment.
You said
I'm balding. And I'm not balding, but
now I'm silent. I feel like, don't claim that, please.
Yeah, God forbid. It's one of my biggest fears, you know, like alopecia. It's one of my biggest fears.
Yeah. But
my edges, and I've never had issues with my edges in my entire life. I've got a good set of edges. Like, I have a big, I don't know how to explain, but like a big hairline. There's a lot of edges. But yeah, I think it was that French braid hairstyle, man. Fuck me up.
French braid hairstyle.
No, the French curls. They were the worst hair I've ever done for my hair in my entire
life.
On both, I've two braids ripped out on the front of my head. And ever since, those parts of my edges have been tender.
Like, tender, yeah.
Pain. Even when I do my edges, I'm like I can feel pain.
It's annoying as well because like with hair the show must go on, like you can't just take a break, like,
because what am I gonna do?
I'm
considering shaving it though.
Really?
Well, when
you're
I say
shave off of it like you did in uni.
No, everyone thought I was a lesbian. I was reading my market, so but I wouldn't shave my head, but I'm really toying with like a pixie.
Ooh! Did you see a Tony Tone's done one?
Yeah, that was a wig though, and it looked good.
Oh, it's her own hair. Huh? It's her own hair. She relaxed it. Yeah.
Oh, because she said something. Maybe she did a wig first, and then people cast her, and then she did her own hair. I think.
Oh, okay.
That's the wig one, but oh, that's her hair. It looks good. Because the one I saw, I was like, "Fucking hell, this is a great wig."
Yeah, no, it's her hair.
But you know, I wouldn't want to relax my hair. My problem is I can't straighten my hair every day. I just can't do that to myself.
Mm.
Like, I'll actually lose all of my hair if I have to straighten every day.
Oh my gosh, yes, of course.
So I'm toying with, you know, those, you know, the curly, like mini, not mini afro, but like the soft curl mini pixie thing that people are doing.
No, I've seen the cane roll one, which I'm a fan of.
Yeah, I wanted to try that as well. I think I'm going to try it.
That would look so good.
I'm going to try it on winter, as I said the other day.
It could be cold.
Oh, I don't mind. The reason that I would want to try it in winter is because in winter, I wear oversized things. And so I feel like I won't feel fat. Whereas I think this summer, if I'm wearing like tight dresses and a bald head, it's just I feel like I'll feel not good about my body.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people who can kind of get away with a bald head, to be honest.
Exactly. And yeah, I definitely am top of the list of people that can't get away with a bald head. Yeah.
Cool.
I've got loads and loads of bites. I have a real issue at the moment that I actually need to stop telling people, because people will think I'm like dirty. But anyway, might as well say it on the podcast. Basically, Say again.
I said, just tell the nation.
No, literally. I went on holiday and I went on two holidays. My second holiday was in Antalya. In Antalya, I woke up like on the second day and I had bites all over me. And when I say I've experienced this once in my life, and it was ticks. In Colombia, ticks bit me and I had like 100 bites on each leg.
My
legs were just covered with bites. And it was similar, but it was in like clusters. So in like my inner elbows, in between my thighs, like basically warm areas on my body, I had like 40 bites in each section. It was crazy. And I was so shook, like, what the fuck is eating me like this? And of course, boyfriend had absolutely no bites on him whatsoever. Not one.
Wow.
I was very concerned. Anyway, I went through the trip. I started wearing repellent. It wasn't working. I come home and I'm still getting new bites. So Rukia,
I'm scared.
They've lived on my clothes or they've lived on my body.
Oh my gosh.
Every day.
Bed bugs.
That's what everyone said, but no, it's not bed bugs. I researched it, and the type of bites that they are, they're not consistent with bed bugs.
Okay.
But I basically, and bed bugs don't bite you in like warm areas. They just bite you anywhere.
Oh, okay.
But I researched it, and apparently it's this thing called chiggers, and they're like little micro insects that you can't see, but you can see. And Rukia, you know, basically when I read that is when I literally dropped my phone. I said, Jesus Christ.
I can imagine you as well.
Feeling stuff crawling on me. Like, you know when you're like, your stomach's itching, you're like slapping yourself. I've been doing that for over a week. I felt things on me and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why am I so itchy? It's because they're on me.
Not to be selfish, but can you catch it?
I don't think you can, no. But I do think that there's maybe like two left now, if there are any left. I worried that maybe they were in my hair. So I sprayed.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
In insect repellent. But I'm still PTSD. Like, I feel like a nitty. Like, I'm just always itching. It's so funny. I told my mom yesterday and she was like, I have shivers all over my body. She was like, from my head to my toes, I'm shivering. I was like, all right, mom. And she kept going, ooh, ooh. I was like, all right. You're making me laugh doing it, because that's exactly what she was doing. You know, I was struggling to sleep at night because I'm like, there are animals on me.
Paranoia, yeah.
Like, what the fuck? And you can feel them. Apparently, they're so small, you can feel them, but you can't see them. You can just feel things crawling all over you. Oh, and they're eating me. Just yesterday, I woke up with like three new bites. Like,
oh my gosh.
So bad, so bad. Anyway. I've had to tell people mainly because I'm itching like a nitty and I have to be
welcome for you.
I'm not just dirty, I swear it.
Insane.
Yeah, should we do our toxic thought?
Yes.
Forgot about
toxic thoughts.
Forgot about that, didn't we? Toxic Thought says, hey ladies, I've been a fan of the podcast since your very first episode, but I never thought I'd have the guts to submit a toxic thought, so please go easy on me, haha. I've been with my boyfriend for around 5 years now, and in the beginning it really was a fairy tale, and when I say fairy tale, I really mean it. 5 years on and I don't know how to put it other than it feels like a spark has died. I'm not sure if it's that we've outgrown each other or if I'm just in a weird phase with him. But what I am sure of is that I don't think I want to be in this relationship anymore. The gag is, I also have no plans of leaving him anytime soon. Part of me wonders if maybe we can work it out in the future when I don't feel the way that I do right now. But in my mind, it feels like a win-win to stay with him because it's either we eventually do figure it out or I just stay with him until something better comes along. London is way too lonely and the streets are way too cold and rough for me to take any chances and leave him without any backup plan. Please don't judge me. I know it sounds terrible, but we all know how awful this market is. And technically, I even feel like I'd be doing him a favor because he gets some companionship in the meantime too. What would you do if you were me, girls? Naughty, naughty.
Naughty, naughty.
So you want to stay with your man until you find another one.
You find it's so difficult because I feel like I get it. Like I get why you'd want to stay with somebody, and relationships really can go through the waves. So there might be like a even perhaps a solid year when you guys are really, really good.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't been in a long-term relationship in a very, very long time. So sometimes somebody else's year would be one of my months.
Yeah.
I can imagine if I spent one good month with someone, I might be like, this is my man for life. Mm-hmm. And then the next month it's like, oh, actually, no, he's not, because things are rubbish. But for some other people who have been together for such a long time, they might think, based on off of a year like going really, really well, then that's their partner for life, and maybe you know, it hasn't been. So it's difficult because like you could go through a really fantastic year, you can go through a really bad time, and I think what's confusing as well, when love is concerned, what is your gut? What's that actually combined of? Is it like, is it genuine intuition? Is it fear? Is it past problems?
Literally,
like, does it have logic? Like, because I was gonna say, basically what I was gonna say to this person was like, follow your gut. But what is your gut?
What is your gut? I wholeheartedly agree with that in terms of like, your gut. I mean, we say our gut, but essentially your gut is like a deep inner feeling.
Yeah.
But it can be comprised of anything. It can be comprised of insanity.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not saying that I completely reject the notion of like following your gut, but I'm just saying in this, in an instance like this, I don't know how useful your gut is, because if, I don't know, saying that the reason that you don't want to be with someone anymore is because the spark has died. Personally, it's just not a good enough reason to me.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, you can end it if you want, and many people do, and it depends on how you frame love. Some people believe that love, there should always be a spark. But I'm of the camp that's like, love is a choice. Love is work. Like, when a spark dies, you find ways to revive it. Because, I don't know, I've got a lot of realism in my understanding of love. And I think, in like, I don't know any relationship in life that is constantly fluid and thriving and amazing. Like, that would be a miracle, I think. If you, I'm sure there are those miracle relationships out there, but I don't think it's the norm that, like, throughout the entirety of a relationship, there's never any downs. It just doesn't happen. Like, even when you think of friendships, even when you literally go back to like the Bible, like, the expectation is that your relationship with God is going to be up and down. So I don't see why it would be any different for humans. And so in my mind, I'm just like, it just sounds like a bit of maturity is needed in this type of situation. Because worse things can happen in a relationship than your spark dying. Do you know what I mean? Like, relationships are so challenging and so much shit gets thrown at you. That's the kind of prayer, that's the kind of problem that I kind of pray for in my relationship, because you can revive a spark with
And like, as you said, like, love, sometimes it like requires loyalty as well, so sometimes it's just about your loyalty and commitment to that love. But yeah, I guess when we dissect what a spark is, it's like, is it that, you know, is it attraction? Is it that you've kind of outgrown each other in terms of your interests? Because I guess sometimes, because I remember, I think I said this before about like, loving somebody is committing to loving different versions of that person. But also, if we're quite kind of realistic, what do those different versions of that person look like? So for example, I would find it particularly difficult if I was dating somebody who was quite maybe left in their thinking, and suddenly they're like some the redneck kind of like I would struggle with that. So like, how much has that, how much have we outgrown that person? What does this spark, what is the spark? Are they just not the person you met at all? And that just literally doesn't marry your lifestyle. Because I've personally like dated people and kind of been in like long-term committed relationships, I guess, with people that I think, I'm going to say gut for the lack of a better word, kind of felt like, actually, I don't think you're for me.
Yeah.
However, because I am someone who's quite committed to relationships, I kind of just ride the waves. Mm-hmm. And also, sometimes when there's no real actual reason like to break up, I'm kind of just like, well, I might as well stay around. Yeah. And I think one thing women know how to do is love on a man regardless of whether they're actually in love or not.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing that we as women sometimes need to just check ourselves a little bit, and also like tell ourselves that I think I said this before, but like we have a choice in who we love.
Yeah.
Like it's not about just being chosen, and you know what, he's committed to you. So it's like, well, you know what?
Commit back. Yeah.
Let me commit back. Like, because men, a man will either love you or he doesn't love you, and it's kind of clear. But like for women, I just feel like we're kind of like, oh yeah, he's all right. Like we're kind of we're going with it, and you know, I think it's easier said than done, but I think it is important to just really think, like, is this person actually for me? And for me personally, there's definitely been relationships where I can just feel it. Yeah. Like, even when we're kind of like, even when we were going, I don't know. I'm just trying to think, like, I feel like there's been situations where even when we're good, it's kind of like a latent kind of love rather than a settled, secured feeling.
I see what you mean. It's like, it's like, I don't know, a euphoric place where it's like, oh, this is so lovely.
Yeah, like this is so, yeah. And it's like, and I genuinely feel it in my heart. Mm. But then maybe if I think about the logical side of my brain, I'm like, I still feel like this could be with somebody else. Yeah, maybe for this girl, it's like, you know, sometimes there is a spark. But there's just sometimes you just know that the person's not for you. However, I am very anti this kind of notion of there could be someone better, so let me just stay around until something
better comes. I think that's
the grass is never greener, like on the other side. It might just be,
it's always greener.
It might not be greener, it might have its patches as well.
It is gonna have its patches, that's the thing.
Have its patches, yeah. But it's not going to be greener, basically. No. So I really hate this idea of like this kind of popcorn culture of like, oh, I'll just pick at this and I'll just,
It's just a fear of commitment. And
I
think that's even reflected in the fact that this person saying that maybe they should just stick around until something else comes. You're leading with fear. Like there's a cowardice to the way that you're behaving, basically.
Yeah.
You're scared to stay with him. You're scared to leave him. And so you're just kind of getting by as long as you possibly can. And that is usually a very slippery slope. It's dangerous. You end up becoming a really bad person. You end up mistreating people. You end up mistreating yourself. Mm-hmm. You also like toy. I think that's a really dangerous place to be as well, because you toy with your worth. Like when you're not standing 10 toes down on whatever it is that you think you need or deserve for yourself, you start, whether it's, I don't know if it's a conscious thing or subconscious thing, but you start to believe that you're worthy of less. Like, I think that's kind of guaranteed. And yeah, I think that's a really, really silly and dangerous way to approach it. I think you need to think about like what it is, like really critically assess your situation. Like, is this person for me? Like you said, what are the things that have made us grow apart? What are the things that make me feel like I don't want to be in the relationship anymore? Is it personal things? Is it like actual like personality types and differences in that sense? Or is it just that the relationship's gotten a bit boring? Because that happens. Like 5 years is a very long time to be with someone. You're going to have a season of dullness in your relationship. Are you just a bit bored? You know what I mean? Like there are so many possibilities, and it sounds like you haven't quite done that critical assessment, because I think if you had, you would have landed in a much more certain place on like whether you want to be with him or not. And you wouldn't I can't even imagine being with someone like, okay, London's rough, whatever. But I can't imagine having checked out of a relationship and saying, but companionship is better than nothing, so I'm going to stay with you. I can do it if I haven't checked out. But mm-hmm. you're saying that you're certain that you don't want to be with this person anymore. How is it possible that you're able to still stay with them? I don't get that.
Mm. Do you know what I was thinking of recently as well? It's not even just applicable to relationships. I feel like it's kind of maybe applicable to, I guess, maybe work, money, kind of general life milestones.
Yeah.
I think we live in a hard time because everything feels so quick and accessible and easy. So like it feels like everybody's buying houses. Oh, it's so easy to do. Like everyone's just jumping in relationships, or everyone's just like, it's so easy to go online and get moved to, or all those kind of things. We want things quickly more than ever. Like we've got chat GPT or whatever. We've got takeaways. Everything's quick.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, life is so hard at the moment. Like the economy's in tatters, like that, and that has a huge effect on relationships. Like relationships aren't as easy to get into as, you know, when we were younger, or I mean like our parents' generation and stuff. Like times are really, really tough. So it kind of feels like a lot of people feel like they're at war with themselves because a lot of people feel like they should be having these things quickly and easy. But actually it takes a great deal of like patience and work.
So
for example, like a relationship, it's not going to mirror what you see on TikTok, because first of all that's fake, and also you don't know what's going on behind closed doors with that couple as well. So I feel like everybody just compares, literally like tell us all the time, but everybody compares themselves to literally what they see, but no one sees what's going on behind closed doors. Even at work sometimes you might see what your manager's doing, you might think, oh, I can do that. Like, of course I can do that. Yeah. But actually, you don't understand how many times they failed and how much time like you need to like stay in that junior role learning until you actually like elevate.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Just think, like we now live in a time where a lot of people feel like they're settling when actually they're not.
Like, I agree.
Just the realism of what relationships are.
It's like,
how can I be like, oh, why am I with this guy? Like, oh, he's punching. Like, surely I could be with somebody else. But like,
where have they been your whole life?
Yeah, social media is not real. Like, I can't tell you the last time I went out and saw like two good looking guys on the same day.
Yeah.
They exist in the real life. Like,
not possible. Yeah.
Not accessible, but everything feels so accessible when it's not accessible.
And it's just not. Yeah. It's just not. You're 100% right. Yeah. Like from finances to relationships, we're all holding ourselves to this standard that's like, it's not real.
No, it's not real.
Body image, like the lot, it isn't real. And we're committing to chasing things that aren't real.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the reason that everybody's mental health is in the pits.
Yeah, it takes a lot. It's funny, actually, because I think I'm conscious of it because I'm someone that could think that of somebody else. So at the moment, I'm posting a lot of like my workouts on Instagram and stuff. Like I'm more into my health. And there is an element of, I believe that people probably look at me and think, oh, why is she still chubby? She's been working out for a good while now. Mm-hmm. But people don't realize that it takes
time.
Years sometimes for people to go from chubby to like a bit of abs.
Yeah.
It's not something that's overnight.
Yeah.
But like I've probably definitely watched someone's story and thought, oh, they're a bit chubby. They've been going to gym for a time now. Potentially, but again, you don't realize that this takes time,
because what
you're probably used to is seeing somebody do a TikTok over the course of a year and you've seen the before and after within 30 seconds.
It's
not real. The
psychological effect that has, because it makes you feel like it's quick and easy. Like
yeah, 100%. But it's not easy.
No, it's really not. Yeah, No, that's a really good example. And it goes for everything. It applies to relationships as well. Like,
yeah,
relationships that you're aspiring to. Do you know something that I found a new appreciation for? You must have seen them, the Thorpes, the
TikTok. Oh, yeah.
And I'll be honest, found them a little bit annoying. When they first came out, I was like, oh. But I'm one of those that's like, when I see TikTok couples in general, I'm a little bit like, I don't know. I find the whole like performative love thing and like calculated love. Like, I'm thinking about the fact that you put up a tripod to kiss. I'm like,
Oh yeah.
I think we came out in an era that I was in that kind of skeptical mindset. Yeah. But in recent times, I've been like, no, I actually really appreciate this couple because two things. One, a lot of their comedy, even though it is definitely like made up,
yeah, it's
based on them not being nice to each other.
Okay.
So like their ongoing skit is that they cuss each other.
Oh, right.
And they'll be like, oh, you're fat, you're this, you're that. Not in those words, but like they banter each other hard. And I'm like, I appreciate that because, okay, yeah, you've planned it, but you didn't plan to put something on the internet that's going to make people go, oh, flowers and they bought her a car. Like, it's there's a realness to your planned fate. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then the second thing is they have a podcast now that I didn't even realize, but they're Christians and they talk like candidly about their relationship, about marriage, about their faith.
I think they broke up at one point or they were going to... Something like, yeah, they went through a stage where they didn't think they was actually going to stay together or something like that.
Yeah. I saw a clip of her saying that she was praying to God to make him cheat on her so she could divorce him.
Wow. She
was just so done with the relationship. And I was like, do you know what? This is what we need. Like, they're young, they're real. And I don't know, there's just some, even though obviously, as I say, like it is scripted comedy and stuff. I like that it seems like their intention is to pull back the curtain on this idea that like couples are going to be like, follow me on date night. And the girl's wearing a sexy dress and he's taking her to Pakistan and there's a picture of his hand and a Rolex on the wrist. Like,
we love the Rolly.
No, I mean, like you got to really holler at me, but yeah, no, it's, they're trying to do something different. And I'm like, I've got a newfound appreciation for you because this is the type of influencing that we need. And it's the type of like, comedic relationship content, if it has to be a thing, I think is preferable because it's fake, but it doesn't feel fake. It doesn't feel fake in a way that would make anyone feel bad about themselves, basically.
It's comedy, isn't it? And it's like, with those things, when you do continue to blow and you have to do content on demand, it's going to have to be staged.
Yeah.
And like, you can't just expect them to just stop getting the bag.
But you're not staging a fantasy. That's what makes
it.
Because it genuinely, it is a fantasy, I think, that we're seeing for the most part when it comes to like how relationships work. And it's not that classic snap of like, it's somebody's birthday and he's bought you Louis V, he bought you Prada, he bought you everything at the same time. With this cost of living crisis, I need to know what you're doing for work. How is it? I don't like, and it got to a point apparently that people were buying bags, like designer bags on eBay.
Really?
Yeah, so you could buy a package that has like one Louis V bag, one bag, one Coach bag, like, and I think it would be like £15 for the package and you can use it for your relationship. He bought me a bundle content. My God.
This is really sad.
Yeah.
And when I think about it, I should have known because it always looks the same. Like, it was,
yeah. They're still on eBay. They're still on eBay, the bags that you can buy. Yeah. People actually sell them. So, yeah.
Oh my God. Everything's
fake. And honestly, if you, what I wish we had more of is relationships taken to the internet to say, like what the Thorpes have said, like, I wanted to divorce him. There was a period I was out of this relationship because.
What's that? Sorry, cut you off there. No, it's not. That Sully Speaks guy.
Yeah, Sully breaks or something.
Breaks. Oh, Sully speaks.
He does speak, to be fair.
He's very candid about his relationships, which I really
enjoy. Is he?
Yeah, he does a lot of like posts about like me, my woman had an, my wife had an argument this morning, and like he's very I would advise anybody who's maybe struggling in a relationship or I don't know, wants just an insight to a real relationship to go on his page.
Yeah,
it's really so just needed. Real.
It's so needed. I remember like even me in my relationship, I feel like there was an era. Obviously, I'm not going to try and speak like, you know, I'm a guru in relationships. It's been a year, so it's not...
But you have an experience.
I have, yeah, exactly. So I won't discount my experience, whatever. but, like, there was a phase that I think I was holding him to, like, a standard that was just so intense and high.
Mm.
Because I don't think I was leaving room to be human. I was looking at everything. I was being very... And I realized that, like, it definitely was kind of ideas that I'd built up in my head about what a relationship should be. Because when you spend a lot of your adult years single, you end up kind of fantasizing and forming this idea of, like, he's going to be like this. And, oh, my God, I want him to be like that. And I was holding him to that standard. And it, I remember having a conversation with one of my married friends about it. And it just... it really helped to settle me and like shift my perspective. And I was like, it's so fucking powerful to have people who you can relate to and like you can share their experiences with you of like imperfection. Because I think I was losing my mind at a certain point of like, are his imperfections things that like I should just, I should not be graceful, like I shouldn't give grace for and some of his imperfections, and essentially I wasn't really giving grace for any of them. But talking to people who've been through stuff, who've like experienced real adult relationship and like just how hard it is to love someone essentially, I was like, oh, suddenly nothing feels like as bad as it did. Like it's okay, I need to take a chill pill and everything will be fine kind of thing. And yeah, I don't know, since then I've kind of just been like, wow, there just aren't enough relationship role models, I think.
No, none at all. And one thing that also came to mind when you were speaking is like projection. So sometimes with a lot of people, like you was probably holding him to that expectation because the fear of him not doing it was a reflection of how you actually felt about yourself.
Yeah.
So like it's like everything's, oh, he didn't do this, therefore he doesn't like me. Nobody likes, do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I've definitely been there where I've taken offense to something, but actually it's more about how I feel about myself.
Yeah.
And you kind of just validated that based on your actions. Well, actually, if I listened to you and maybe like took note of some of your other actions, that's not how you feel about me.
100%.
But I've chosen, like, obviously insecurity is always magnified. I've chosen to pick that out and take offense to it. Sometimes when people aren't accepting of themselves, it's like, how can you accept somebody else's imperfections where you can't accept your own?
Yeah,
able to give grace as well. Sometimes it's just important to, you know, work on yourself as well in a way, and as cheesy as that sounds, in order to give grace and realize that even because people are bullshit, my gosh, like people are free, mate. People are bullshit, but also when you feel secure in yourself, it's kind of like, oh, you're bullshit. That's nothing to do with me. Like, it's like
100%.
We're going to interact with that.
100%.
We've all been there as
well.
We've all been there as women. Like, we give the guy that would never give a go, and he's trash, and now you're sad and more angry at him and yourself for even accepting it when you knew he was crap in the first place. That feels like a reflection of you. Like, I've definitely dated people that I should never date, and then when it goes left, I'm like, I'm even more sickened.
You know what I will say as well is that when you will know when it makes sense to give grace, because I think I've spent my entire life being like, oh, should I give him a chance? but I'm so angry about the fact that I'm giving them a chance. I kind of resent the fact that I'm giving them a chance. And I know deep down in my gut that he's not the person that deserves my chance. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But because I'm trying to coach myself into like being an adult in the way I view relationships, I'm like, no one's going to be perfect for like, you can't always hold people to this high standard. And it was a constant like, me against me. I would lose my mind thinking I'm giving this person a chance and I know I shouldn't be, but also should I? When you are meant to give that person a chance, or like that person is worthy of your chance, you really will know. Like,
exactly. It sounds devilish, but it's not the 666 rule.
You bring that to me, Ricky, please.
I promise. One more faith. It's like when you meet a man instantly, within the first 6 seconds, you kind of know whether you're attracted or not.
Yeah, okay. That's
and then the first 6 minutes, you know whether you want to give your number or if you want to actually interact or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the first 6 weeks, you're kind of like collecting the data, seeing how you go. Is this someone you actually want to pursue seriously?
Interesting.
And then within the next 6 months, you know whether you want to be with that person.
Oh, like, it's four sixes.
Four sixes, sorry. Don't
make the devil rule you, you know. It's four sixes. That's fine.
Butchering that. But... yeah, and it makes sense because I feel like as humans, you know whether you're attracted to someone, you know whether you're like interested in that person, you kind of know whether there's someone that kind of aligns with your purpose, and you kind of know in your gut whether this could be your person for life.
You do.
And obviously life happens sometimes, so you know, things can go a little bit left, but you kind of know. But as women, I think we kind of we extend that 6 seconds to maybe a minute because you're like, is he attractive? I'm not sure. And you're like, oh, fuck it. Like, you know, attraction might grow. Then, I don't know, you've already seen the red flags in maybe the first 6 weeks, but you're like, you know what? People are human. And then you keep extending. And then you're 6 years in deep. And then you're...
like, how the fuck did I get in? Now you're fifth, six. You're top six. And you're like, oh, shit.
Oh, man.
66 years. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, just stop extending. Like, as women, stop giving grace. Like, why?
You don't. Because the reason I wanted to differentiate, like, you know when you're meant to give grace is because I feel like I've also been that girl where, like, I'm in a place with a shit guy and I know that I shouldn't be with him, but I'm doing up. You never know, give him a chance. He might change, blah, blah, blah. And then I listen to something or I read something that makes me think, oh, yeah, this is life, fuller. Adulting is hard. Give him a chance. And I didn't want anyone to listen to this in a shit situation and be like, it's true. Part of adult relationships is grace. It's not everyone that deserves your grace.
No, it's really not
everyone. Absolutely, part of adult relationships is giving grace, but you really will know when you should be giving, or that person is worthy of your grace. You really will know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like what's really, really important, just in life, but also I guess with relationships, is being fair. It's incredibly important to be fair. Be fair to the person that you're dating, because nobody's perfect. But also be fair to yourself. Like when if something, I don't know, shit situation happens, be fair as possible. Like, why did they do that bad thing? And also, where does that leave you in that situation? Like, fill your cup first and foremost, and then dish out the rest that you can.
But
I'm definitely getting better, and I've got a lot better over the years. But like, just make sure you're good before you extend, you know, grace. Because people will chop off your arm and feel no way.
Absolutely,
they take it all. And then in the next moment they'll be like, "Oh, actually, nah, this isn't for me."
When they're ready, no, literally, because you sacrificed yourself.
Yeah,
that person actually didn't ask you to. I think
don't settle on instability.
100%.
Yeah,
it's so funny. We've gone on a major tangent, to be fair, but I think I think with this toxic thought, it is still relevant. Like, be fair. Be fair to yourself, be fair to him. It's not fair to keep him hanging around as some kind of like backfill while you look for the love of your life. I think it's also depending on, you know, the situation. It's not fair to give the relationship a fair chance. Like 5 years is no short amount of time. And you're not saying that in 5 years we had a terrible time. You're saying it was fairy tale, then the spark died. Girl, you can defo revive that spark, or at least give it a fair shot to try.
Yeah.
Because I think, yeah, like you said, people always think grass is always greener, and it absolutely is not. And you will enter into your next relationship. This person, but a lot of people do this where grass becomes greener. They think, what else is out there for me? Spark has died. It's been great. And you don't realize that you've become a bit spoiled because your relationship has been great. Mm-hmm. You've become so used to a good relationship that you're so greedy, you want more. You don't value the good because you've not seen too much badness. And then you leave someone that essentially that relationship would require work to fix. Mm-hmm. You find yourself in a new situation and you realize, oh shit, there's no such thing as a relationship that doesn't require work. And now it's a different type of work that I'm having to do with this person.
Yeah, it could be worse.
Literally, it's always going to be work. It is always going to be work.
It's always going to be baggage, yeah.
It's just, is it that person worthy of the work? And what kind of work is it? Is it a kind of work that you can handle? Because if it's not a kind of work you can handle, then run for the hills. But if you can handle it, which I think most people can handle, the spark has died. You know, there's loads of things you can do to revive a relationship in that sense. Then I think stick with the devil you know, because only God knows. Only God knows what's waiting around the corner, boy. Maybe the next work waiting for you is somebody who is a serial cheater or sex addict. You know what I mean? Like, you don't, honestly. Yeah.
Or I know that, and the thing is, I know how difficult this is for a lot of people. But how about you just be single instead of finding somebody else?
Yeah, there's also that.
That's the case. Like, maybe you don't have to give the relationship a go, but maybe you should just not jump and take a break.
Because it is pretty. That's not a good place to be. To be like, this relationship isn't working, so I'm waiting for my next one. Like, why does it have to be from one to the other? I believe in breaks between relationships in general anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I can't diagnose, but that is saying something about you and your relationship, maybe with yourself. Like, why do you have to jump ship immediately to another relationship?
Take time, man.
Yeah, sweet time, man.
not us being preachers.
Preaching like I preach him, man.
I think it was a real contrast from last week's episode.
No, just
apparently last week's episode was really funny, but I don't remember it. We recorded a while ago. Yeah, I've had like two people say, "Oh, that was so funny," and I'm like,
"Oh, really?" I know we were just chatting shit, but I don't know.
Yeah, we're chatting shit.
I don't know what we were saying.
You edited it. Oh, that was a while ago.
It's been like three weeks.
We haven't recorded in a long time.
We haven't recorded in ages. Yeah, so I But yes.
We hope wishing you all the best in your relationship. And I do hope it does, just works out for the best for the both of you.
Love is so sweet. And like, when you find someone, I think there's so much beauty in like building connection with someone, and part of that building is stuff like this. It's like, okay, we hit a rough patch and then we came together to fix it. Like, that's so powerful, and it forms a great bond. Do you know what I mean?
When
you argue with people, the relationship becomes stronger. Like, I genuinely see a lot of beauty in being able to sit down with your partner and be like, listen, we're both not happy about this and that, and coming up with a plan because you both love each other so much that you're committed to staying together. Like, that's lovely.
Mm.
Get all the benefits of the work, man. Get all the benefits of it.
Yeah.
If you want to do it, that is.
Yeah. Get with it or get lost. Sorry, I'm actually trying.
All right. Yeah. Love you plenty.
Love you lot.
Amigas and amiguitos. And we will see you next week.
See you next week.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.